The Quincy Homestead, the corner of Hancock Street and Butler Road in Quincy. If you don't know where it is, we're going to find out all about it right now from co-chair Allison Lee and also docent John Thomas Malvesti. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you. We're delighted to be here.
We've had folks from the Homestead on the program here in the past, and we've kind of highlighted individual one event programs that have been happening. So I'm looking forward, Allison, to learning kind of a broader picture about the Homestead from you, and then also about John Thomas, your experience training to become a docent to actually give tours of the Homestead, right? So let's start with you, Allison, if we could.
Yes. So the Dorothy Quincy Homestead is the home of four generations of Quincys. Edmund Quincy, I like to call him Edmund the First, Edmund the Second, Edmund the Third, and Edmund the Fourth. Sometimes I think our guests, our visitors, get a little confused with all four generations. However, it's such an important history. It's a gem for Quincy. Quincy's so lucky to have so much historic background, starting with colonial times right through the Revolutionary War.
And so we're talking pre-Revolutionary War
this
for the Homestead.
Homestead is pre-Revolutionary War. We do interpret the house that currently exists from 1681 through 1763, when Edmund Quincy IV sold the farm due to a financial mishap.
Okay.
But it begins, the story of the Quincy Homestead really begins with Edmund I, who came over in 1633 aboard the Griffin with Reverend John Cotton, and that was during the Great Puritan Migration, which many people have heard recently. I think there have been books published and whatnot. It's an interesting history. Mm-hmm. And so during our tour narrative, we start there at the archaeological dig from 2 years ago, and we talk about where the original homestead stood.
Which is not where it is right now, right?
It is not where it is right now. No, it's not. It was moved in the late 19th century and subsequently demolished to make room for the high school, was Quincy High School.
Yeah.
So the narrative now starts in the 1681 house that was built by Edmund Quincy II. And so he lost his first wife, and when he remarried his second wife and she was pregnant with Edmund III. like most women, the house is too big, I need a new house. We don't know that that's true, but it makes a fun story. So what we're interpreting is really from Edmund Quincy II when he built the new home in 1681, and that's what we see today.
Yes, yeah. So why isn't it called the Edmund Quincy Homestead instead of the Dorothy Quincy Homestead?
It's actually the Quincy Homestead, but that gets confused between Josiah Quincy's house, which is also here in Quincy.
Yeah, over on Muirhead Street in Wollaston.
Exactly. Okay. So it is called the Dorothy Quincy Homestead, kind of as a distinction between the two.
Gotcha.
So we're just absolutely thrilled because it's a unique piece in the country. It's one of the few historic structures that has an original 1681 structure within a later Georgian. They literally built the Georgian construction right around the original two-cell structure that was built in 1681.
A picture actually you want to show folks
provided.
Maybe you can explain a little bit about, this is later on, right? This is from the 1800s, but John, maybe you could bring up that photo and we can let folks see the homestead back in the 1800s and what it developed into.
Okay, so what you're seeing right here is the original homestead. Well, the current homestead is on your left.
Okay.
And that has still some front porches and some things that were removed in the 1920s by Joseph Chandler, who did the restoration.
Okay.
On the right-hand side, you see the original homestead, and this is probably around, I think this photograph was taken around 1878 approximately, and you'll see behind it are the barns. This property, I don't know, John, how much you remember about the quote, when they went to sell the house in 1763, how many structures were on the property?
I don't remember, but it was noted for its agriculture. It had a big garden, as Edmund Quincy IV, it's a big horticulturist.
So is that the main driveway in the middle there?
So yes, this driveway came right down from Hancock Street, and then those barns in the back, he had a wonderful apple orchard.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And produced many, many hundreds of barrels of cider annually. That was Edmund Quincy IV.
Okay.
So what we're seeing here really is the development of the homestead up to Edmund Quincy IV, and then additions and changes made by subsequent owners.
I see. Okay.
One of the things I thought for Quincy residents might be interesting is that many of the street names, when I drive around, I see, you know, Allen Street, or it could be pronounced Allen, but it's got a Y in it, not
yes,
out.
Yes.
And there's Greenleaf Street, there's Butler Road. All of those streets, everyone knows who John Adams and Franklin and, you know, Quincy, but the other names are all associated with the Dorothy Quincy homestead.
Interesting.
So those are all subsequent owners of the homestead.
Oh, I see. All
and
right.
Actually, Butler and Butler Pond, Peter Butler was, he actually leased the property. He never owned it.
Okay.
So it's the history of Quincy is so tied to the homestead itself.
Yeah, and the story, you're right, doesn't get the, you know, headlines, if you will, that the Adams story does. It's not part of the National Park Service, right?
It's not.
It's run by a separate entity.
It is a National Historic Landmark.
Yes, yeah.
It's actually owned by the Department of Conservation and Recreation of the state of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. However, it's run as a historic property and was originally owned by the National Society of the Colonial Dames in Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah.
So now we're in an agreement with the state where we run it as a museum property, but they actually own the land and the structure itself, and we work in cooperation. And I just want to take this moment to thank the city of Quincy, especially the city of Quincy's Preservation Commission. They have been so generous over the years, helping to provide funding for restoration and preservation of this structure. They really have been a wonderful partner, community partner to us. And so we're so happy that this year we're expanding our hours for our tours and providing more tours. And that's why we have John here today, because he's representing a student docent program.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I don't know if I got through everything I wanted to say, but I do want to just talk briefly about Dorothy, where we have Independence Day coming up, and we're going to be celebrating this Saturday, July 1st.
Yes.
Mayor Koch is coming to do a proclamation, a reading of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
And we're going to be offering free ice cream. We're praying that there's no rain and that the community of Quincy can come out and hear that. We've hired a fife and drum player to entertain.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so that's going to be a fun event. But we are doing everything we can to try to make the homestead a little bit more accessible to the public. So I am the curator, or not the curator, the collections manager. So my responsibility at the homestead is the objects that are within the homestead.
Big responsibility.
And the interpretation.
Yes. Some of them you have brought with you this morning.
I have.
Yes.
So one of the things I wanted to show is that, you know, when I learned about the American history, I knew who John Hancock was. I never really thought about, well, who was John Hancock married to? You know, who's Dorothy?
Well, everybody knows he was the first governor of Massachusetts, right?
He was the first president of the First Continental Congress and Second Continental Congress, very famously, you know, largest signature on the Declaration of Independence.
So the king can read it without his spectacles, right? And
exactly.
So the story goes, yeah.
So who is Dorothy? Well, I will say this. Dorothy is an educated woman. Mm-hmm. She can read and write, which was not always the case during that period in time. And she and John actually got married in 1775 in Fairfield, Connecticut. She witnessed in 1775 at the Battle of Lexington and Concord. She witnessed the battle.
Wow.
And she actually went out and helped the wounded. John had to flee with other patriots down to Connecticut and then to Pennsylvania.
Well, because he would have been killed had he not, right?
Had he not, exactly. So at the homestead, one of the last rooms that we go into, we talk about Dorothy and John, their love story, the brief infatuation she had with Aaron Burr. That's part of so
always some scandal.
Always some scandal. So we try to make the tour interesting from it, you know, accurate from a historic perspective, but interesting with stories about the people.
Relatable, right?
Relatable.
To make them human.
Relatable. Yeah. So what I brought today, because I did want to focus on Dorothy, because she was a strong, independent woman who did so much for our country, supporting John, and also just the fight for independence. This is her little shoe. This is a gold silk shoe, with a wonderful white kitten heel. And the reason I brought this object is we know this belonged to Dorothy because this descended. Dorothy and John had no children. Well, they had two children. Both, neither one of them lived to adulthood.
Oh, okay.
So they really didn't have descendants. But she had plenty of cousins. I mean, she had a large family.
Right.
So a lot of the artifacts that are at the homestead that can be attributed to John or Dorothy are specifically donated by family members.
Oh, I see.
Because they descended, like our chariot, mm-hmm. like the John Hancock's chariot.
Yes, we have a photo of that, too.
Oh, yeah. So folks, if you show that,
We couldn't roll that up Washington Street into our parking lot today.
No, you couldn't.
No, and but we do have a photo of it. Yeah.
That's a great. So you can just picture her in her little kitten heel trying to step up into her chariot.
And there it is.
And there it is. There's the chariot. And this was generously restored with funds given to us from the Quincy Historic, the Preservation Society.
Very nice.
Yeah, commission.
Yeah, very nice.
And then we also have, this is John Hancock Jr. This is their son's little shoe.
Okay.
Now, he passed away. He died in a skating accident when he was only
just
8 years old.
A little bit higher, Allison?
A little
there
higher?
You go. Yeah, perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
So this
very good,
shows
yeah.
this little. His little brocade shoe.
On Butler's Pond, perhaps?
No, they were living in Boston at the time in the governor's mansion.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And then these are purportedly, and when I use purported or family tradition, these are his little gloves.
Okay.
So the homestead does have some original artifacts.
Yeah, I see. Yeah,
and,
thank you for bringing those.
We love to tell the story of Dorothy and John and all four Edmund Quincy's. But I don't want to take up too much time. I want to make sure you have time for John, because John was part of our student docent program, and it was a wonderful program, and it was in concert with the city of Quincy.
They have been
wonderful, and the city of Quincy is paying these docents, these students,
yes.
to learn and become, interpreters of the homestead. So John.
New this year, right, was the docent program?
It was new this year.
Yeah, at the homestead. It's been around for a while before that.
Our docent program was basically made up of volunteers from the NSCDMA.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we are always encouraging. If there's anyone out there listening right now that's a Quincy resident and they have a passion for history and they have time on their hands, we welcome members of the community to help become volunteers.
Okay. Good
matter
to know.
Of fact, two or three of our prized docents, people that are the most enthusiastic, are Quincy community members.
Okay. Good
and
to know.
And so we're thrilled to have John, who just graduated from North Quincy High School.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And he'll be attending BU this fall.
Yep.
Very good.
And
how did you find out about the docent program at the homestead, John?
So I found out about it in school.
Okay.
So the docent program basically trains high schoolers to be museum tour guides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the docent program actually started at the MFA.
Oh.
So they'd bring in high schoolers from both high schools to the MFA to present on particular paintings. Then, after the pandemic, the program shifted gears to focus on local historical resources, of which there are many, so it wasn't a difficult pivot to make.
You were lucky, right? You were in Quincy, so you had your choice. Yeah.
Right, yeah, very lucky. So I started in 2021, and that year they actually brought artifacts to the schools from the Historical Society to present on. For example, they had tools used by granite workers and other things. And then in 2022, this past year, we got to work at the homestead and learn how to guide people through the homestead, which is fun because there's a lot of history in that building.
As I'm learning, yeah.
Yep. Now, there's two big things that the docent program teaches its students. The first is not to overwhelm the guests with information, as they call it, fire hosing them.
Right.
Now, there are hundreds of facts you could tell people, even about a specific room in the homestead. So you want to, but you only have a certain amount of time, so you want to narrow it down to the most interesting anecdotes and stories and whatnot. The second thing is what they call meaning making. You want to cater the information to the audience you're with. So if you're given a tour to an author who's researching for his book on John Hancock, you're going to want to focus on John Hancock, and also that author is going to be really receptive to any information you have. If you're given a tour to a group of high schoolers, not all of which might be interested in history, you're going to give a different tour and you're going to have to connect it to their interests. An example of this is when we have a room in the homestead. It's Henry Flint's bedchamber, and Henry Flint was Edmund Quincy IV's uncle, correct?
Yes.
He was a tutor at Harvard. And in his room, on his bed, we have a bed warmer and a foot warmer. Mm-hmm. And so when I take guests up there, I try to connect the information to their lives by talking about how those two devices were really their only defenses against the cold. So think about how cold winters are now and the fact that that's all they had.
Right.
So that's just an example of how you can connect the information to modern day audiences'
yes.
experiences.
Yeah. Yep. Now, have you always been interested in history?
Yes. I love storytelling and I love stories, and I see history as just one long story that we're a part of and that's still unfolding.
Yeah. So what do you plan to study in college?
Well, filmmaking, actually.
Oh, really?
Film and TV production. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm thinking documentaries about
things in
history?
Yep, all kinds of stories. Yep.
Interesting. Have you done some of that work already through at North Quincy High?
Yes, I've done work at North Quincy High. I've done certain historical projects. Like I did an interview with Dr. Yacoubian.
Really?
Who's the basis for the mascot, and I talked about his experiences and his family. His family's experiences in Armenia during the genocide whatnot, and kind of got his story and the story of Quincy when he was growing up and what the community was like then. And I've also made some short films with North Quincy, too.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Congratulations on
Thank you.
And good luck in your future endeavors, too. We are out of time, speaking of shortness of time. But, Allison, just quickly, when is the homestead open this season?
So, if you go to the website, NSCDA, at nscdma.org, you will find our full schedule.
Okay.
It's usually the first and third Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our fun events coming up in October is our first candlelight tour. We're hoping to be open at night to give people a feeling for what it was like for colonial lighting.
Yeah, there was no electricity back then. So
there's no electricity.
Okay. And again, this coming Saturday, the mayor reading the Declaration of Independence and free ice cream.
Free ice cream.
Okay. Thank you both. Really appreciate the opportunity
to learn
about
this. Thank you for having us.
And share your story. You're very welcome.